This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In 2014, Khazanah introduced a restructuring plan for Malaysia Airlines to create a more leaner and a more competitive company. In doing so, the 12-point mass restructuring plan will make 6,000 jobs redundant. And following this, the CDC, or Corporate Development Centre, was created to support these retrenched staff to reskill and retrain them and get them jobs. In the studio with me this morning is Corporate Development Centre CEO Shahrin Azmi. Shahrin, welcome to The Grill.
Thank you, Ibrahim.
Now, if you have any questions for Shahrin or the CDC or for Khazanah for that matter, you can text us at 016-201-9000 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So let's start with some comments, Shahrin, from the media. In the Malay Mail news that was published very recently, there has been some criticism on the CDC's efficacy in finding jobs for these exited mass staff. How effective has CDC in trying to find jobs for these 6,000 mass employees or former mass employees?
With respect to the news report, I think we never received any inquiries from them to corroborate the story that they went with. So it certainly didn't come from us. What we have, well, what I can say is out of the exiters who have actually left MAS to date, 4 out of 5 people who have left MAS have actually requested support from CDC. And out of those who have requested support, 4 out of 5 have actually transitioned onto a new phase of life with our assistance. And if you're looking for jobs, I think one of the things that the tendency is to assume, oh, you want to find these people jobs. Not everybody wants to leave a company and get a job. So some people retired, and the moment the, you know, some 59-year-old wants to retire because of medical problems, that's one person you don't need to get a job for. You have people who say, you know, I want to drive a taxi. So he goes off and becomes self-employed. That's also another job that you don't find, you know, have to find for somebody. So that being the case, I think everybody who's been looking for a job and is prepared to interact and engage with us has been able to move on, definitely.
The some of the stats that I got might be a bit delayed because the stats as of November 2015 shows that about 1,100 CDC registrants have moved successfully on to other jobs. Do you have any data on these other people that you were mentioning just now that did not require jobs or they want to find self-employment or they just want to retire completely? What is the ratio of those that want to find a job but did not register with CDC?
Oh, that did not. As I said, 4 out of 5 people who have left MAS have actually sought assistance from us. This is nationwide, yeah? So as a percentage, that's very, very high. You've pretty much looking at not quite everybody, but pretty much, because these are people who are going to say, look, you know, I haven't got any contacts. I don't know anybody. So can you please help me? That's fine. But when they do come to us, as I mentioned, a very small percentage have actually elected to retire.
Then why is there the criticism still coming in against CDC? For instance, the National Union of Flight Attendants Malaysia, NUFAM, Muhammad Akram Osman, said that CDC has to be more aware and more responsible in getting jobs for the people. And he even drew comparison that Air Asia has absorbed about 250 former MAS staff employees. And these kind of criticism that he makes is basically against CDC. Do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, I've never met him. He's never reached out to us to for comment or to work with us. I think that it's great that people may have found their own way. Air Asia, with respect to them, declined to work with us, even though we did actually offer to work with them. So Air Asia said, if anybody wants a job with us from MAS, tell them to apply to us directly. That's fine. Not an issue. It's their call. By the same token, you know, 500 other companies, 516 as of yesterday to be exact, have actually said to us, hey, look, you know, we've got vacancies. We want people from MAS to come and apply for these jobs. Currently on our own jobs portal, exclusive to CDC, we've got over 9,000 job vacancies available. And if that is the case, I think that opportunities are clearly there. Whether you want them or not is a separate issue. Now, what we actually do is we will actually work with people to see what is it that each individual will want to do and then look to see whether that works for them. And that being the case, I think that that very customized approach, you know, can be a little bit delayed, but that is very much the call of the individual.
So let's focus on the collaborative partners that you have. Mm-hmm. You mentioned over 500 companies mm-hmm. as of yesterday, and they have been offering jobs to retrenched mass employees. What is the scope and definition of these collaborative partners? Do they provide the reskilling and retraining of these former mass employees, or do you do it yourself in your in-house training program?
I think it's a mix of both. Some of the organizations are really looking for people who have who bring with them tremendous experience and talent, and those organizations are prepared to teach the skill. The skill can't be taught in an hour, can't be taught in a week. They want those people to develop on the job. I can give a shout out to, for instance, an organization last week that took somebody who was 55, and that was the St. Regis Hotel. They took somebody, and the person that they took, his comment was, you know, my goodness, I'm 55, but the hotel's position was, yeah, but we can't replace the experience and the quality that you have. So they're prepared, but you can't introduce somebody to hotel work instantly.
Yeah.
So that is a development issue, not training. We will do certain types of training, certainly for organizations that said we're prepared to give somebody a job provided they come with this particular background. So we will upskill them to that point and then put them into that position. But we won't if it's not a guaranteed position.
The CDC, or the Corporate Development Center, is 100% owned by Khazanah National Berhad. Are you a for-profit organization?
We're not a charity. We're not a yayasan. We're actually not-for-profit. We actually have I'm very pleased to say, you know, I get a bit of a free pass as far as having to chase profitability. What that basically means is that we are just simply need to be able to make enough to sustain ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the question, right? Because there's no such thing as a free lunch, and therefore the CDC does incur cost for Khazanah National, and as such, it makes you a cost center. Do you think that by finding jobs at the rate that you're finding jobs for these people justifies your existence as a cost center for Khazanah?
I don't know what the problem might be. As I said, 4 out of 5 people who have registered with us and sought our assistance have actually been transitioned on to self-employment, retiring, or a new job. So I think we're doing actually very well.
Right. Yeah. Let's focus back on the collaborative partners. You're mentioning that some of these partners includes hoteliers. I see here SPAD even, some banks. Does it mean that many of these jobs that are being offered are actually lateral, outside of the airline business, outside of the hospitality and service sector as well?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of the people who have actually found jobs, if they're interested in re-employment, the people who have actually found jobs are ones who are prepared to consider other opportunities beyond aviation and beyond what they have been used to. I think one of the challenges is really people that say, I really want to do exactly what I just did. And that's very difficult. They really need to consider moving on. And there are a lot of opportunities out there from organizations that are prepared to take them.
Do you think that Malaysia Airlines right now is a more leaner organization, having shed over 6,000 jobs from their staff strength?
Well, I mean, I can't comment for CDC, for MAS. I can only mention from CDC perspective. But MAS certainly is doing significantly better, as we understand it to be, from the CEO, from reports. They are doing better.
This morning, I'm speaking with Shahrin Azmi, the CEO of Corporate Development Centre. Up next, we'll be discussing life after Malaysia Airlines and what they have in store for them. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this morning on The Breakfast Grill, I am speaking with Shahrin Azmi, the CEO of Corporate Development Centre. We were talking about how they were assisting the former exited MAS employees and how 4 out of 5 of those MAS employees have found jobs. And there is still criticism that is being levelled against CDC. Having said that, life is not just about Malaysia Airlines. Of course, CDC was created under the 12-point mass restructuring plan, but going forward, CDC's transition support has to be better balanced in terms of trying to find jobs for those who want it. Shahrin, let's focus on those who want jobs. What are the demography of that? Is it mainly those that have been, you know, experienced in the job market, you know, 40 or 50 year old individuals, or does everyone need help in trying to secure jobs?
In 2005, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics did a study, and what they found was that the average American actually change careers. That's not jobs or employers. Actually change careers an average 7 times. In 2008, PM said, you know, stop quoting American statistics. What's the Malaysian number? So we looked at the Malaysian number, and we found that the Malaysian number 8 years ago was 2.98. So the average Malaysian changes careers 2.98 times in the course of their working life. I mean, I think you, Ibrahim, have changed like about 4 times, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
So the issue then is, if this is already happening, then in some cases people are not doing it well. Yeah, they're changing because, oh, look, somebody offered me more money, so I'm just going to go. But the question is, does that really work well for them? Does that actually make sense? And if it doesn't make sense for that individual, we're looking at individuals now. If it doesn't make sense for the individual, CDC would exist to be able to assist that individual in sorting out their priorities, their motivations, their interests, and so on, to be able to see whether that's a good move. Let's assume that it's not a good move. What that person will do is they'll go somewhere and not be productive. Their employer won't appreciate their presence, and likely they will leave. So that hasn't helped the economy at all. So for us, the ability to assist, support, coach, counsel individuals who would be looking to make those transitions, because we know they're happening. Mm-hmm. You did it. A lot of people have done it. And people are constantly doing that. The ability to do that from a professional, neutral, non-emotional perspective, very valuable. Because the only people going to guide you otherwise are your friends and relatives, right? And they all have a vested interest. Mm-hmm. So from our perspective, we really look for the individual to be able to move on to good things. Whether you're 18 or whether you're 50 or you're 40, people are changing for a range of reasons.
Looking at the unemployment numbers, it kind of scares me because total Malaysian unemployment rate is at 3.5% as of July this year. Now, while that may seem low, if you strip down the details further, Malaysian unemployment rate among fresh grads is actually extremely high. 1 in 3 is actually unemployed. And this number is from the Khazanah Research Institute. Youth unemployment rate is also quite high. Between the gaps of 20 to 24, the age bracket of 20 to 24, the number can go as high as 42.5%. That's close to 1 in 2 youth unemployment rate right now in Malaysia. With this in mind, and you already have, so you have these young guys that are not getting jobs, right? And then you have these exiters from corporates like Malaysia Airlines, and they have to leave their careers mid-life, I would say. How would a corporate like CDC, you know, find jobs for everyone? If that is your modus operandi,
I think 40% is 2 out of 5.
Yeah,
I think we're not. It's important to emphasize we're not a re-employment agency. We're not an employment agency. We're not finding jobs for people. Our role is be able to support, assist people as they move, as they transition, as we say, from one phase of life to another. And if we're looking at young people, moving from school, from university into a job, generally they don't do that well. They don't prepare themselves well. They don't seek the opportunities well. And nowadays, it is a science. It's not even an art form. You can actually follow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and do significantly better than before. I think there are programs that assist people to be able to better present themselves. But I think that one of the challenges with this is follow-up. So where we really have been able to help, and we did talk about MAS earlier, but with that is when people are looking for an opportunity, they do have to get used to something we say, you have to get used to the F word. And the F word is failure, not the other F word. Yeah.
Right.
So what happens is as they start to do this and they look, we function as both cheerleader and whip. Because people can get very demotivated. And what happens then? They do nothing. So it's very important to keep them going, to steer them towards the right opportunities for their interest. Now, that's from the applicant point of view. The other side is essentially the receiver or the employer point of view. Employers, I believe, there are employers that are prepared to hire on the basis of hiring the talent to teach the skill, but many are not. and they expect some young person or anybody really joining them walk in at 8:30 and 8:31 to be instantly productive and profitable. I challenge managers and say, you know, but when you first joined, I was like, no, dulu lain, you know, last time it was different. No, it's not. You really need to be able to make that effort. We have a young lady who, she was looking for a job, and she found a retailer. It's an international retailer. And she said, you know, I'm only a school leaver. It's okay. I will go to them as a sales girl. Mm. And she went off, interviewed them, and she came out, and she had this slightly stunned look on her face. And I said, what happened? And she said, well, you know, I will be a sales girl. And they looked at me, they said, no, sales girl, you're better than that. We're going to make you a store manager. And she said, I don't know anything about retail. And this retail chain said, yes, but we do. What you bring to the party, we can't teach you, right? That is a really, you know, that's the way an employer should look at human resource, as people and everything else, and say, look, you're bringing something that we can't teach. We'll fill the gap.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then, you know, that's
right.
A problem.
So what you're describing here is a marketplace where there are job seekers and there are employers. But the problem in Malaysia, the way I see it, is that there's so many intermediaries to connect the two parties. For instance, Talent Corp, EPU. There's a lot of programs running under EPU. For instance, the Scheme Latihan Satu Malaysia. There's also HRDF, the Human Development Fund. And now CDC. So you have a lot of these bodies. Many of them are government-driven and being paid on the government dime, or, you know, public money. And yet we have these kind of unemployment rate numbers. Do you think that many of these bodies are doing enough in trying to close that gap of unemployment numbers?
I think there are a lot of organizations, a lot of entities that are working very hard. And I think it takes two hands to clap. I know that at the moment, we are working closely with Talent Corp. And in that arena, we're working with them to bring women back into the workforce. And I think that they're very, very driven. They're doing a very good job. But they also need help because they don't cover everything, which is really where we work with them and partner and fulfill the rest. So I think a lot of organizations together can, you know, as long as you're prepared to work together, that's really not a problem. And it's going to take more than a couple of shops here and there doing odds and ends. We're certainly prepared to be able to assist as much as we can. But I think the issue is not about finding the job, which is the end result, but very much the process in getting there. And the preparation of individuals for that, the assistance of individuals to be able to do that, is essentially what we do. We've helped people who are EVPs. We've helped CEOs, at least one dato. And it's not that they couldn't do it. They just needed the assistance and the support to be able to do it better.
Now, being housed under Khazanah, do you think that you have a better advantage in helping those that need employment from the Khazanah group of companies? Absolutely. Not just from Malaysia Airlines, but for other group of companies in Khazanah, including CIMB Group, including many others. Do you think that there is an added advantage in you being housed under Khazanah?
I would like to think so. Certainly, we have been able to get, I think, a lot of government agencies extending very, very open support to us. That's not to say they would not assist private organizations, but we do have an advantage. That was the question that you posed. And certainly from the Khazanah family, we've really been able to connect with the right people much faster, much, much more easily. But you can't really shovel people into positions. You really have to – they have to be prepped. Then the right people have to go into the right places. So that's really the thing where, you know, I think we've been very successful. If 4 out of 5 people who have registered with us have actually moved on successfully, then I think that's a pretty good record. So I would challenge, you know, to say, fine, first thing you need to do is register with us. Second of all, engage properly with us, and we'll get you where you want to go.
And of course, just before entering the studio, I was asking you this, right? How would we, the retail individual out there, listener, actually get help from corporations or companies like yourself? Can we just go up and sign up with CDC, or is it, you know, corporate driven and corporate initiative led?
At the moment, I don't think we're able to accept walk-ins, much as I would love to do that. I think we are moving towards that. That is certainly a goal. It is actually something that we intend to do, which is to allow walk-ins nationwide. But at the moment, we really are looking at organizations to, who are going to say, we want to be able to give a better benefit to our staff, and the benefit is to be able to offer them CDC if they decide to move on, voluntarily or otherwise.
Finally, the question on the larger picture, right? Because as the number I quoted just now, the unemployment rate is at 3.5%, which is low. But when you go down to the graduates and also the youth unemployment, it becomes very big. It can become anywhere between 20 to 50%. Do you think that we are preparing our country for way too many, you know, graduates? Is there not enough jobs in the first place for all these graduates to find? And also, do you think that there has to be a shift of mentality in terms of trying to just accept jobs that they were not initially dreaming or aspired to when they were in university?
I'm not sure what anybody was dreaming or aspired to. I think that if you take yourself, I don't know that when you were leaving school that you ever thought you would be in, you know, broadcast journalism. I suspect not.
No.
The issue, therefore,
when one does accounting, one does not even dream of becoming a radio, you know, presenter.
Well, this is exactly the point. But the issue is the courage to be able to take on that next challenge and to consider what you're prepared to do. So therefore, the key really is to be able to be better prepared for change as opposed to anything else. I usually like to quote Einstein on this one, which is education is what remains after you've forgotten everything you learned in the classroom. Okay? So the key really here is the education, the total shaping of the individual to be able to take on those changes.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, going to be the key for everybody, both the courage and the ability to make those changes over
time.
The
thing is, when we talk about transitioning or entering a career that one was not initially prepared, sometimes it can be a rude shock. For instance, in Singapore, unemployed graduates are now being asked to take jobs as an auxiliary police officer. Now, when you study something like, I don't know, engineering, and you know you can't find a job after you leave school, and the job opportunity is something as menial as an auxiliary police officer, there is a kind of mind shift that the Singaporeans are preparing for themselves there. Do you think that in Malaysia we're going to go down that route where we prepare, you know, unemployed graduates for something that was not necessarily meant for graduates in the first place? Not just as a radio presenter like me, but really something that is a menial job. Do you think that we will go down that path?
I would probably say that, you know, the casting of a police position as menial is problematic. If you have better educated policemen, I don't know that that is ever going to be bad for any country, us or Singapore. So generally, I think we need to get away a bit from the mindset that you're a graduate, so therefore you should only have this kind of a job. Have this education, so you should only do this kind of a job. I think that is itself problematic if we look at this, because it somewhat hurts everybody. But I think overall, if everyone was better educated, it can only end up with a better economy as a result. So no, I don't see that as an issue. It's not forcing people to do it. But if there is a mindset change, you know, you look at this as something that you can do, and everything that you've done so far should prepare you for that.
What's next for CDC?
We are, you know, we're good at what we do. We have had interest from even outside of the country, very significant interest from outside the country because of our success. And organizations, both multinational and otherwise, and foreign governments are actually asking us for assistance. And we'd be very happy to be able to help wherever, whenever we can.
I've been speaking to Sharin Azmi, the CEO of Corporate Development Center. Sharin, thanks for being on The Grill.
Thank you, Brian.
I am Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.